Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, back with us by popular demand is the coach. It's the business coach, Russell White. It's time for us to have our quarterly gathering, trying to figure out what anybody in business is doing wrong and what they need to wake up to.
Yeah. And what all they're dealing with these days.
And I'm going to tell you something. You need to listen to this topic title. This is going to be about the future of entrepreneurship. Is it in danger?
Yes.
Big old question mark. But before we get into that, Coach, tell everybody a little bit about your extensive background.
We do not have enough time to cover all that.
Cliff Notes version.
Cliff Notes version. Yeah. I am celebrating my 30th year as a business coach, consultant, motivational speaker, and trainer. So I've made it this long, I'm very happy to say, and I look forward to what my future holds with the years of doing this, and enjoy working with my business clients and friends.
The business coach, by the way, Russell's been on the air with us for 11 years now on Friday mornings, giving two-minute vignettes every week that have to do with good common sense about business, and I don't care what your position is with the business, whether you work for the business, whether you're a manager, whether you're an owner, whether you're an investor, whatever, it's worth listening to. And, of course, if you miss it, you just go to WRHI.com or RussellWhite.com, and you'll find it right there. Okay, buddy boy, you picked this title, which I think is interesting.
I picked this title back in the first of the year.
You did.
And I've been researching since.
And with everything that's going on, there's a lot of legitimacy to this. Is entrepreneurship in danger?
All right. The answer to that is yes.
All right. First question would be why? What are some of the driving things?
We have so many obstacles being thrown in the way of a small business entrepreneur, not only the people that are currently in business, but how we're preventing people from wanting to go into owning a small business or developing a business on their own. And I just see it, they're under attack. I don't want to call it any other thing. They are under attack. And once small businesses recognize the hostile environment that they're in, it's going to be very hard for them to pass that business along. It's going to be very hard for new businesses to either get started or even people, young folks saying, I don't want to get started. I'm just going to participate in what I call the gig economy, where they're an Uber driver or they create marketing online, you know, these one-time, just pay for what I do type businesses.
Right.
So I think that to creating small businesses, which is the backbone of the economy in the United States, it truly is, we have put that in a danger zone because of all the attacks that they're having. The first big attack that I am most concerned about is the governmental attacks.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me add one thing to this. Last night, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Moore, who is here to speak to the Reaganites. Stephen Moore works with an outfit in Washington, D.C. called Freedom Works. He used to be in the Reagan administration. He's an economist. And one of the sound bites that I listened to this morning, he reminded everybody that government does not create jobs and wealth. It's the free enterprise system that does.
Absolutely.
That's what's gotten us all to where we are, no matter who you are and what kind of job you have. It all goes back to the free enterprise system.
And so if the government doesn't create jobs, can the government inhibit business growth?
Oh, my God, yes.
Absolutely. And that is the attack that there are multiple governmental attacks right now that I think that are inhibiting small business growth, development, and encouragement even.
All right. What would you say the number one one is?
The whole conversation on the minimum wage.
Oh, yeah.
Do I believe that the minimum wage is too low? First of all, I think minimum wage has been redefined. It used to be just a protection against child labor.
Right.
That was the problem. That was why a minimum wage was originally established. It was never decided to be a minimum living wage. So I think that interpretation on what minimum wage is has changed dramatically. Yes, it should have been changed since the last time we had it, 10, 11 years ago when it was established at $7.25. But I think to double it will absolutely cripple the economy. It should be tied somewhere to cost of living. Because let's face it, living in San Francisco is a whole different world than living in Columbia, South Carolina. I mean, so a national minimum wage doesn't equally fit. So the government needs to recognize that, you know, that this minimum wage is really inhibiting small businesses. I mean, let's face it, large companies have the opportunity to merge or acquire other businesses, and they get that economy of scale, so they can handle a wage increases much more. I've noticed a number of large businesses coming out in support of a $15 minimum wage. It's a business strategy because it'll inhibit their competition. That's why they support that. So the small business people are under attack with the minimum wage, and it creates discontent with people that are making less than $15 an hour because they now believe that, well, by golly, I should be paid that.
Well, and remember this. When you go to that $15 minimum wage, it's a trickle down.
Oh, it's a bounce up, too.
I mean, the employee may be making some more money, right? But for the employer, he is going to have to adjust his pricing for his products. And whose pocket does that come out of? Comes out of the consumer's pocket. So
a $15 bump on minimum wage bumps everybody else up the ladder a little bit higher, and then that gets passed on to the customer. It creates inflation, and suddenly the $15 minimum wage has the same buying power as the $7.25 in the smaller inflation.
Exactly.
So it's a head scratcher for me on why this hasn't been figured out.
All right, now wages is one thing. We're hearing an awful lot out of Washington about we want to increase taxes to pay for all this stuff that we want to have everybody to have.
Well, the tax burden, there's two pieces of the tax burden that will inhibit small businesses. Let's start with the business owner. Okay. You know, we've heard this number of $400,000 being out there, that if you make more than $400,000, there's going to be just an incredible tax burden, a huge increase in taxes. And I'm sure most people listen to that and say, oh, wow, $400,000, if you can't live on that, you don't deserve to have that money or whatever it may be. But the fact is if I want to grow a bigger business, then as a entrepreneur, my ability to earn should also increase.
Sure.
So if I am basically being capped at $400,000, why would I ever grow a business larger than that and take the risk if the reward isn't there? And so what's going to happen is I've been talking with some businesses right now that are big businesses. The owners do make more than this because the businesses have been established for decades. And they're now saying, well, if that's the government's decision that $400,000 is the level, then I'll just back off my compensation to $400,000 and shrink my business in half. Once again, who suffers here?
Yeah, exactly.
The other employees that were working there. So the taxation is really, really a tremendous burden. The other thing is, you already mentioned it trickles downhill. If all of a sudden that I have to pay an extra 8% in government tax on my business, I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
That 8% goes where? Right to the customer.
Sure.
It goes right into the price. It's baked in. Just like, here we are in Substation 2, just like if his food cost goes up and all of a sudden roast beef is twice as much, the roast beef sandwich gets more expensive. We all understand that. Well, the tax burden does the same thing. And I'm finding this just a really, again, a puzzle, because it is not a money decision. It is a risk-reward decision.
Bottom line is, it doesn't make any sense. Now, it's also not making any sense. There's not an employer in the world who isn't looking for employees. I mean, everywhere you go, we're hiring. We can't find anybody. Well, duh. The reason we're not is because we understand about COVID and what it did, and we understand why the government had to help. I got that. But to do what they're doing now, which is we're in this post-COVID period, and we're still sending $300 here, $300. I mean, it's just nuts.
I call this the current definition of insanity, paying people not to work and taxing those who do work. I mean, let's just put a logic test to that. I mean, when people are being paid more to sit at home than they are to own a job, honestly, I cannot blame them from sitting at home. I mean, they're being paid to do that. But once again, this is having a significant impact on the small businesses, because the small businesses pay lower levels than these Amazons and these very, very massive businesses that have this economy of scale. Small businesses do what they can to hold it together. You and I both know small businesses that are today reducing the hours of operation because people are being paid more at home to sit at home than they are to come to work. I want to add one other thing. When we did the PPP last year in the government, they supported the businesses. The genius part of that was they were paying businesses to keep people employed. So the workers were still getting their money, but they were getting their money to work, not to sit at home. The mentality on that and the attitude that we change. When you're being paid to work, whether it's coming from the owner of the business or the government, you're still going to work. When you're paid to sit at home, now you either sit on your couch at home or you go to work. That's a completely different mentality. And if we do that for long enough, people no longer want to work.
Well, the only good news is that here in South Carolina, and I think probably 25 other states across the union, that part is going to stop at the end of June. But we still have these rental subsidies that are in there. You don't have to pay your rent. At some point, you're going to have to pay the piper. You can't keep doing what's being done.
Unless we are becoming a socialist country.
Well.
And that's another conversation for another straight talk.
All right. Now, one of these other attacks, as you point out, on small business, all has to do with forcing businesses to shut down. I mean, who is the government to tell you to shut down?
I mean, that to me is the civil liberties just got trampled on with golf spikes with that whole pandemic and how they decided that. Now, if the government has overstepped their role and they have decided who is an essential and who is a non-essential business, fine. Give me the math that made that happen. Give me the science behind that. But it was very arbitrary. For example, Walmart can still sell, at that time, could still sell clothes, could sell any products. Yet the local mom-and-pop boutique of clothing store was forced to close. Why was that the case? You know, was there a lobby that made that happen? To me, it was not very transparent on who decided who was essential and who was non-essential. And when we look back at it a year later, you know, we can look back at that. That was totally random and arbitrary, and it was a complete overreach by people. It wasn't a response. It wasn't a very positive response to a situation that was pandemic. I understand we wanted to be careful about health care and the health of the country, but when we force businesses to close, where does that stop? Pretty soon we're going to force businesses not to carry certain products. We're going to force businesses to say these are only your working hours. I mean, it's a real big step that I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle on those kinds of things. The whole again, the taxation can be also stepping on somebody's personal liberties to some extent. We just got to figure out, you know, how that works. I just think the explanation never happened. And I'm hoping in my lifetime I never see the government decide who is essential and who is not.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Russell White, the business coach, and our topic is to do with the future of entrepreneurship. Is it in danger? Well, first part of our discussion was all about the government's influence, negative influence, on small business. Now, if that isn't enough to deal with, then you got good old society out there and the crazy things that are happening during this period that we're living in. And right at the top of the list is this doggone thing called cancel culture. My
God. You know, I never thought I would see in America freedom of thought would be canceled. But it was a casualty of 2020. And people, you look at companies, their advertising, their social messages are so cautious. They're so careful to try to include everybody that they can't be themselves. They can't make a statement without somebody being frustrated, upset by the wording, the image, whatever is in their ads. And so it's a very dangerous slope. And we're also getting to where there are particular views that are favored and there are particular views that are frowned upon regardless of imagery or whatever. It's just if you speak like this, then you are in the wrong. To tell you, just to give you a personal example of how this has changed the thinking and the attitudes of some small business owners. Monday, I had a plumber come out to my house for a very minor repair. After the repair was done, I was talking with him. He reached out to shake my hand, and he withdrew his hand.
Huh.
He says, "I'm sorry, do you shake hands anymore?" He actually asked me, and then he says, "Because I don't want to offend anybody." So I reached out and grabbed his hand and shook his hand. I shake my hand. This is America. But the reaction that he had as a small business owner, he was afraid he would hurt his future business and somebody would come out against him in social media because he was bold enough to assume that I would still shake hands post-pandemic. That is an indication of how the cancel culture has invaded all our psyche. And it is preventing people from actually being business owners. We are so concerned with the social response and being canceled.
Well, and that rolls me into the whole business of the world we live in called social media, which I think is just about as disruptive as it can be. I mean, it just does amazing.
I refer to it as the anti-social media.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, we have given people an electronic bully pulpit.
Yes,
to say whatever the hell they want to say, whether it is has any substance to it or not.
Well, let's assume that I am a customer and I walk into XYZ shop and I have a bad experience. That happens, whether it's a bad employees, owners having a bad day, just a mix of mistakes, whatever. Not only am I mad at that business, but I'm going to have all my friends come along and give bad reviews on Yelp and Google for that business, even though they have never been there. So if we hit this cascade of bad information, this cascade of bad reviews, there's no check to that. So people come along and see this review. This was a terrible thing. I would never go here. This is an awful establishment. You're nuts if you ever step in here. Well, if I've never been there before, I'm probably going to pass them by. And that's written by somebody that has never even been there. It's a vendetta. It's a slam. That's where social media has really, again, negatively impact the small businesses, because what does the business owner say when there's people writing all these bad reviews and they've never even been there? How do you fight a ghost?
Well, and that brings up this whole topic about ethics.
Yes.
Have we any ethics anymore? Do we have any standards, any morals, anything?
Well, I think what's happened with the ethics is, I think you'll agree with me, we have become an angry country.
Oh, yes.
And we are constantly on an edge of anger. Just watch how people drive, how people interact in restaurants. However, I mean, you just see how people interact in the public. And I think that the government officials and national media are constantly fanning their flames of the flames of anger for their particular side, whichever side that they take. And because everybody's so angry, we now want to pay back. So let's say an example: an employee is mad at her employer, doesn't pay her enough. All right, I'm not making $15 an hour; they don't pay me enough. Therefore, it's acceptable to steal from them because they owe me. I mean, and this is where people are starting to lose their ethic ground. I mean, this is something we have to be very cautious with. In South Carolina, I haven't seen this yet. However, there are some cities in this country that they have changed the laws that if you steal less than $950 value, it is no longer a crime.
Oh, yeah.
So there are grocery stores in California that are watching people literally walk out with armloads of food. But it's less than $900. They can't prosecute them.
Right.
They can't even get them arrested. So how do you bake that into your price if anything I can walk in and steal from you, less than $950, and I don't get arrested? Why would I open a business in that environment?
It's funny that you brought that up, because this morning on Palmetto Mornings, we're talking about San Francisco, this very thing. And an odd little factoid, the DA out there, his mama and daddy were with one of these like Black Panther, what was the other group that was not out there, in the 1960s.
Uh-huh.
And he was raised in that culture. So there's a recall election underway right now to
yes.
get him back, because nobody is prosecuting anybody, and it's just bedlam out there in San Francisco.
And if I'm a small business, say I'm a young person, I want to open a small business. And, I mean, it's nip and tuck when you're starting any business. I mean, the money is, you're really looking for the pennies to get started and ramp up.
Exactly.
And someone can walk in and literally devastate your brand new small business with no recourse, no recompense on them. What do we do with that?
Yeah. We have to take our mid-program break. Reminding that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical formula is pretty simple for most people who know it. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Comporium's Cloud Voice Services delivers carrier-class Cloud PBX and hosted business phone services with all the features expected from a traditional phone system, plus unified communications, instant messaging, mobile apps, video conferencing, and more. Business Cloud Voice takes away all the guesswork by offering a cost-effective, pay-as-you-grow service. It doesn't skimp on quality or features. It won't hurt the bottom line, and it will continue to deliver innovative services year after year. Learn more online at business.comporium.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-64.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The business coach, Russell White, is with us. We're talking about the future of entrepreneurship being in danger because of things that are changing right before our eyes. First part of the show, if you can go back and listen to it, if you missed it, all the stupid things the government is doing. I mean, minimum wage, increased taxes, unemployment benefits, loss. I mean, it just goes on. And then we have all the craziness in society. You know, this cancel culture, which is driving everybody nuts. Social media, which is just out of control. All right. Now, when you take a look at what it takes to run a small business and get it up and going, there are basically some core values or core components that are fundamental that are getting lost.
They are totally getting lost. It's just amazing to me. I mean, you mentioned earlier about how people have this rent abatement and college debt being deferred, and maybe they don't have to repay it. But taking a risk means consequences. We are not teaching young people how the risk-reward ratios and how to understand that to be successful in business, you have to be willing to take a risk. And sometimes risks go bad. So it's something that people have to really understand, that risk has an issue with it. It's not just, risk it. If it doesn't work, they'll write it off. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, the number two thing on that list, and anybody who's been in business understands this, long hours. Long, long hours.
When you're starting a business, you're working, I talk about 100, get ready for 100-hour weeks, but you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's different. It just feels very, very different. So you have long hours and you have hard work. I am in shock that many family-owned businesses right now are not being passed along to their kids because the kids don't want them. These aren't struggling businesses. These are successful million-dollar businesses that these kids are like, no, too much responsibility, too much hard work, too much risk. I don't want any part of it. Can you imagine both of us who started businesses from complete scratch? If somebody had offered something like that to us, we'd have jumped on it. But it's too much hard work. Too many long hours. It's the preparation of these skills. It's building awareness at a young age how important that these are needed to build a small business. And again, if people don't want to go into running a small business, even one that is already established and successful and handed to you, wow, how are we going to get people to start from scratch?
Well, and another one of these core competencies that I think is being lost is the ability to, shift gears very quickly to adapt to whatever's going on out there. Improvise.
When people ask me about starting a business, I tell them right up front, fair doesn't enter in the equation. I'm serious. The business world has never been fair, and it never will be, just like reality. We keep trying for this fair, everybody treated the exact same. That's just not how this world works. You've got to work hard. You've got to take risks to build success. When you own a I tell them, when you own a business, you have to adult every day.
Yeah. And you need to realize that you're in this for the long haul.
Absolutely.
And if you don't love it, don't even do it.
Don't even try. It's got to be a passion. a passion, not just, oh, I think I make good money there, because you won't make the good money if you don't live it, if you don't love it.
Right.
And so understanding the value of investment, that's a long-term return. It's not something you do just now and a year from now you want to turn your business over and sell it. It takes planning, a willingness to take risk, which I've said. Our society has become so short-term focused that we've lost that's not how you sustain a business. You have to have the long view. When you have to redesign your dining room, when you have to repave your parking lot, you got to do those things. That's
exactly
part of business.
Right. All right, we want to end on a positive note. We got about 4 minutes left here. There are some ways for you to create a good future for your small business.
If you have a good established small business and you want that business, your baby basically, to continue after you have retired, start with setting the example. Lead by example is the way you develop yourself personally, but it's also the way you develop your staff and your managers in hopes that you're developing people that are the future of your business. They can become the face of your business. Emotional leadership just gets in the way. You've got to have some good logic, some people that understand what they're stepping into. So setting the example is critically important.
All right. Now, obviously, after you've put all this time in and all these years trying to get this thing to where you want, you need to be thinking about, okay, who's coming behind me?
Absolutely. You've got to identify, groom, and grow your successor. Now, people are like, oh, well, I'm not ready to retire. Well, guess what? This takes many years.
Yeah.
You don't do this 6 months from when you're ready to walk out into retirement. You've got to make this plan to happen because you may grab the wrong horse to begin with. You may have to find somebody else. But grooming and developing someone, think of the things that I've learned over the last 30 years. There's no way I could teach that to somebody in 6 months. So it's a process. You've got to develop that, and you want to make sure that they love it as much as you do. Otherwise, they're just taking it for the money, and it will die a fast death.
And I guess the most important thing is to be smart enough to think, well, maybe somebody else could do better than I've done.
I'm running into this a lot with my clients, is that they're finding out that when their kids don't want their business, well, what's the value of that business? Well, maybe your business is better off in the hands of somebody else, because if I'm tired, my family doesn't want to do it, I need to get paid the proper valuation of my business. So, and valuations change as the world changes, because in 2019, I could have sold a movie theater a whole lot better than I could sell it today, because just how the world changes. So as a business owner, you fully need to be aware of what the value is of the business that you've created. What is the street market value? Not what I think it's worth or what it should be worth, but what's the value of your business? And you need to recognize, as that ebbs and flows, you need to pick the right time to pass that business off to somebody that's important. You're ready to walk away when your valuation is at its peak, or your life investment may be of little value to no one when no one is there to take it over because you waited until it was too late.
As you point out, Russell, with the world changing as rapidly as it's changing, the movie theaters is a perfect example. You know, my God, before the pandemic,
the sky's that's the limit. Right, exactly.
Now they've been shut down for a year. Lots of luck
and
in your audience.
People
back.
They're not coming back as fast as they thought that they would. So think of all the businesses. If you were a non-essential business, how bad did that hurt you to be shut down for so long last year? Even with the PPP payments, you can't get your employees to come back. You can't open your regular hours. Maybe people learn to shop in a different way. So small businesses, the agility necessary to run a small business has never been greater. You've got to be able to think, act, project what's coming, handle the blow-ups that happen. It's really important that we recognize that the future of small business really relies with the small business owners today.
And just remember what Stephen Moore said last night. You know, he's with the Freedom Works, and he's an economist who was with the Reagan administration. It's free enterprise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Free enterprise that creates the job and the wealth in this country. It's not government. So we need to be aware of what we've just talked about here for 30 minutes and have your antenna up, because these issues, particularly the governmental issues, can really squash free enterprise. Russell, thank you for all that you do. Thanks for being on the show, and look
My
forward
pleasure.
To our next episode. Russell White, the business coach, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Of course, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The magical formula is pretty simple. Not rocket science. It works. It's still working. 1, 2, 3.
Slice.
Garden. Everybody knows it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.